The first triumphs of the Reformation passed, Rome summoned new forces hoping to accomplish its destruction. At this time, the order of the Jesuits was created. Notice what this quote says. The most cruel, unscrupulous, and powerful of all the champions of popery. Cut off from every earthly tie and human interest, dead to the claims of natural affection, reason and conscience, wholly silenced, they knew no rule, no tie, but that to their order, and no duty but to extend its power. We don't have to read the whole quote. But they made it their business to destroy Protestantism. The Jesuit order therefore stands before us as the embodiment of a system which aims at temporal political domination. And that over the whole world. You will say to me, surely China will not be subject. Well, we already read a quote by the Jesuit general himself where he says he controls China. Who controls communism? The Jesuits created it, and therefore they controlled it. They practiced it in their South American examples, where they practiced it before they instituted it. Very interesting. This is Count von Hernsbruch, 1911, German noble and ex-Jesuit, who says this very thing. At what then do the Jesuits aim? According to them, they seek the greater glory of God, but if you examine the facts, you will find they aim at universal dominion alone. It is they who rule the world. One quote after the other. Moreover, the Pope has thousands of secret agents worldwide. They include the Jesuits, the Knights of Columbus, the Knights of Malta, Opus Dei, and others. The Vatican's intelligence service and its field resources are second to none. Even Dave Hunt, American Baptist historian, says that. So, let's have a look at some of these institutions. Let's have a look at Freemasons. The Grand Design Exposed says, the truth is the Jesuits of Rome have perfected Freemasonry to be their most magnificent and effective tool, accomplishing their purposes among Protestants. Now surely, the members of Freemasonry themselves must be deceived, because if they saw it, they wouldn't do it, right? So actually, the order is being used and they themselves are deceived. And only within the order, higher up, are those chosen ones who know, and they are controlled by the Jesuits for Rome. Very clever. Very clever to make Protestantism do what you cannot do openly because you have been fingered by Protestantism as the Antichrist. So this is very interesting. This is a Templar fortress and a church on the island Mallorca, Spain. And there again you have the double-headed eagle, and you can go to virtually any church on that island and you will find the double-headed eagle over the altars of these churches. As I said, Adam Weishaupt was the father of Jacobinism, and he is the one who is also the founder of the Illuminati. From the Jesuit College at Ingolstadt, it is said to have issued the sect known as the Illuminati of Bavaria, founded by Adam Weishaupt, its nominal founder, however seems to have played a subordinate, though conspicuous role in the organization of the sect. You see, again, they use a front and a front and a front. Now, here are two Jesuit generals. This one over here is General Ricci, and this is General Ledokovsky, and very interesting, this one over here, 1773 to 1814, he ruled during the order's suppression. Now notice this, the Vatican itself suppressed the Vatican, the Jesuits, between 1773 and 1814. What happened to the Vatican in that time? There was a mortal wound. And the Pope was taken into exile and he died. Isn't that correct? So who gave the mortal wound to the papacy? The own order in the own church. Power struggle. And he created, in his time, the Illuminati was created through Weishaupt. And, of course, is also the father of modern communism, who with his Jacobins conducted the French Revolution. Years later, Jesuit General Ledakovsky with his Bolsheviks conducted the Russian Revolution in 1917, and it's identical to the other revolution. And I will deal with that when I give a lecture on revolutions and wars and dictators later in the series. France's greatest authority on the Jesuits, Edmond Paris, said, "The Russian Revolution, by eliminating the Tsar, protector of the Orthodox Church, had it not decapitated the great rival and helped the penetration of the Roman Church, we must strike while the iron is hot. The famous Rusikom, Russian College of Rome, is created in 1929, and its clandestine missionaries will take the good news to its schismatic country. 1 century after their expulsion by Tsar Alexander I, the Jesuits will again undertake the conquest of the Slav world." And did the poor Slavic world suffer? They were slaughtered by the millions. History will show what happened there when Stalin, probably one of the greatest mass murderers of all time, did his thing. Frederick the Great, so-called, of Prussia, caused the high degrees of Masonic constitutions of the ancient Rite to be revived, and he himself wrote the constitutions under the guide of the Jesuit general. Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Albert G. Mackey says that himself. Very interesting. And now notice this. This is a source that's unbelievable. This is Isis unveiled by Blavatsky herself, the author of Secret Doctrine. She says that the rites are the offspring of the sons of Ignatius Loyola, the Scottish Rite and all of these, worked under the instructions from the general of the Jesuits. So who controls Freemasonry? The Jesuits, there's no doubt about it. Here, we have confirmed the induction of the Knights Templar Mason into the councils of the said order of knighthood, and hoping and confiding that he will ever be so demean himself as to conduct to the glory of IHS, the most holy and almighty God, and to the honor of the mark, we do recommend. There's a ritual in Freemasonry which is totally Jesuit. So the Jesuits control Freemasonry. Here's a Freemason temple, if you like. It's in Oklahoma. There is IHS. This is a Freemason temple. It's a lodge. There is IHS in it. There are still old ladies, male and female, about the country who will tell you with grim gravity that if you trace up Masonry through all its orders till you come to the grand tip-top head Mason of the world, you will discover that the dread individual and the chief of the society of Jesus are one and the same person. James Patron, American historian. There are many that say these things. Knights of Malta. The Freemasons are in the foreground, while the Jesuits and the Knights of Malta are in the background. The Jesuits control even the Knights of Malta. Now, who are they? Well, they are headquartered in Rome, these knights. They used to be on an island, but besides that, they used to be a military order. They are still a military order. They are knights. They control the banking of the world, the industry of military complexes of the world. They oversee Chase Manhattan Bank with all its branches. They rule all the intelligence communities, the KGB, the CIA, and all of these things to restore the Dark Ages. Everything I'm saying is a quote. I'm saying nothing. Don't accuse me of saying anything. I'm just reading. Who are they? Well, here's the head of the Knights of Malta at the moment in America. This, well, he's dead now. This is Francis Joseph Cardinal Spellman, Cardinals of New York. And their headquarters is St. Patrick's Cathedral, the diocese of the Archbishop of New York. There are the various ones. Here's Terence Cardinal Cook. Then was Cardinal O'Connor. And currently, Cardinal Archbishop of New York, Edward M. Egan. Now let's have a look who the members of the Knights of Malta are. That should be interesting. Some past, some present. General Alavena, George Anderson, Angleton, Azru, Bertie, Bobs, Bonaparte. Does that name ring a bell? Borghese, Bradley, Brady, Pat Buchanan. Does that name ring a bell? James Buckley, Prescott Bush, does that ring a bell? Frank Capra, William Casey, does that ring a bell? CIA, Cisnero, Cooks, Coughlin, Loach, Giscard d'Estaing, does that ring a bell? President of France, Bill Donovan, Alan Dulles, Avery Dulles, Edward Egan, that's of course the Cardinal himself, Franz Egon, John Farrell, Flanagan, Flynn, Gelly Galen, Gorman Grace, General Alexander Haig, does that ring a bell? Otto von Habsburg, wow. Konrad Hilton, Heinrich Himmler, he was, Knights of Malta. J. Edgar Hoover, FBI, CIA fame. Joseph Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Larkin, Lehman, Lorenza, Luce, Henry Luce, founder of all the great magazines and Time Magazine and all of them. Great publishing magnate, McDonald, Manhattan, you name them, all of them, O'Neill, Otis, Franz von Papen, the legate who worked with Adolf Hitler, Perón, Rocco, the list goes on and on and on, Frank Shakespeare, Martin Shea, even Frank Sinatra was a Knight of Malta, for interest's sake. So there are prominent men who are Knights of Malta. Now what about the Knights of Columbus? The founder of the Knights of Columbus is Father Michael McGivney. He lived a very short time when he died. He was very young. He died at the age of 38. There is their emblem. And this is their official home webpage. You can just take it straight off. And you can see something fascinating. What is that? Hello? Do you remember what it is? The little bundle of rods? That you also found in the French Revolution, right there in the Manifest of Human Rights. What is it? Fasciae. And they've got a wreath around them. What does that mean? All power in one man. Who will that man be? Who do the Knights Columbus, founded by a Roman Catholic priest, want to see the power vested in? The Pope, of course. The Knights of Columbus, founded at New Haven, Connecticut, 1882. Then it was already considered 300,000 strong. Roman Catholics are, only Roman Catholics are eligible. It is initiative to service in 4 degrees. It's the heart and soul of politics. You cannot get into politics if you don't have the stamp of approval of these guys. The fact is well known to political machines and non-Catholic politicians whose candidates must receive the approval of Rome and the Knights before they dare nominate them for either dog pound or presidency. The Knights of Columbus' principal business is politics, a Jesuitical politics. So Menace to the Nations, Jeremiah Crowley, is the quote. These are serious accusations. There they are, with their fasciae, which will become clearer as we go on, and we can see where we are heading. For today, Rome considers the, listen to this, today Rome considers the fascist regime the nearest to its dogmas and interests. We have not merely the reverend Jesuit Father Coughlin praising Mussolini's Italy as a Christian democracy, but their official magazine, which is Civiltà Cattolica, this is the official Jesuit magazine, says, this is the house organ of the Jesuits, says, fascism is the regime that corresponds most closely to the concepts of the Church of Rome. This is scary. Have you noticed lately that there is more and more control? Have you noticed some of these things? Have you noticed that you are being treated more and more like someone who has to bow 20,000 times before the powers? And there is the organization Opus Dei. It's a semi-secret religious lay order with paramount objective is total support of the papacy. And these people walk around with clamps that tear into their flesh so that they have constant pain with every movement to remind them of their obligation. And they have high, high members like presidents, for example, of Portugal is an Opus Dei member. Then we have the Skull and Bones organization. And who are they? Well, they have this interesting Skull and Bones. What does it represent? You know that by now. Jupiter, and they have the number 322. If you look up Genesis chapter 3 verse 22, you will find, now man has become as one of, like one of us, knowing good and evil, raising man to the level of deity. This is Yale University, the place where they are. Now let's consult one of the greatest authorities on skull and bones. That is Anthony Sutton. Let's ask him where he is. Educated at the Universities of London, Göttingen, California, former research fellow at the Hoover Institute, Stanford University, as well as economics professor of California State University. He had the guts to speak out and write a book, and it cost him dearly. But nevertheless, let's quote him. There is the book, Anthony Sutton, America's Secret Establishment, An Introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones. So that I don't say it, let's quote it. Skull and Bones, it's over, it's Bush. Bush won the election. Let's watch this video.
Yale University, the scions of America's first families confessed their sexual exploits from a gruesome coffin. In a smoke-filled room, a handful of power brokers manipulate the global economy. These are the purported activities of some of America's secret societies, groups with names like Bilderberg, Skull and Bones, and the Trilateral Commission. The Skull and Bones Society is founded in 1832 by 15 seniors at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. They establish a secret society with rules and rituals that remain unchanged to this day. The Skull and Bones initiation ceremony is said to be held in April in the tomb's basement. One distinguished member serves as master of ceremonies. Once enrobed, he is known as Uncle Toby. The shortest senior is appointed Little Devil and dons a satanic costume. A bonesman with a deep voice is dressed as Don Quixote. Another is dressed as the college's founder, Elihu Yale. Still another is given papal vestments. It would all be funny if it weren't for the fact that among the former bonesmen are three presidents: William Howard Taft, George Bush, George W. Bush, numerous senators and ambassadors, industrialists like William Whitney, CIA agents, State Department officials, and publishing magnate Henry Luce. Absolute secrecy is also required. In his 1999 autobiography, George W. Bush devotes just one sentence to his membership in Skull and Bones. Quote, "My senior year, I joined Skull and Bones, a secret society so secret, I can't say anything more." The secrecy, according to some researchers, is there to protect the fact that Skull and Bones funnels its initiates into positions of power and influence.
The best-known bonesman is ex-President George Bush, who, according to tradition, is supposed to avoid admitting he's a member.
Mr. President, are you a member of Skull and Bones?
American Journal got a similar response when we recently asked George Bush Jr., the governor of Texas, about his membership.
Does it still exist? I mean, the thing is so secret, I'm not even sure it still exists.
Okay, so you'll see that George W. Bush is a member. They lie in a coffin. They bow down before a papal figure, swear allegiance. They do all kinds of weird sexual things in a coffin, which I'm not going to explain what they do here. It's pretty vile. And these are the presidents of the most powerful countries in the world, and they belong to secret societies such as this. The order, what it is and how it began. Those on the inside know it as the order. Others have known it for more than 150 years as chapter 322 of a German secret society. That is very important. In fact, this was discovered when they broke in and stole some of the papers at that institution. It is officially known as the Russell Trust of 1856, or as the Brotherhood of Death, because they serve the god of death, who happens to be Anubis, if you like, Osiris, if you like, or Jupiter. The American chapter of the German order was founded in 1833 at Yale University by General William Huntington Russell. And Taft, the only man to be both President and Chief Justice of the United States. Interesting. Now, the German order, what does this actually mean? The Illuminati had its origin at the University of Ingolstadt, and recruits were from the student Inkorps. Of course, they had to be students with high connections, you know, sons of very high insiders. The order had its origin in Yale in 1833, but Skull and Bones is a chapter of a German secret society. So, which organization does it represent? Active members have enough influence to push their sons and relatives into the order, and there's significant intermarriage amongst the families, and they fall into major categories, two major categories. We find the old line, American families, and second, families who occupy great wealth. When he's initiated into the order, he says, tonight he will die to the world and be born again into the order, as he will henceforth refer to it. The order is a world unto itself, in which he will have a new name, and 14 new blood brothers also with new names. Now, there's also a British chapter, which was established at Oxford University and All Souls College, and the British element is called the Group. So the Skull and Bones is not the only one. You have the Group, and then you have a European order as well. So the Group links to the Jewish equivalent through the Rothschilds, the Inner Circle, and so there is a worldwide secret organization which has the highest individual in industry, government, all facets of life. And they actually are the most prominent rulers in the world today. And if they are a chapter of a German society, then they are the Illuminati. And George W. Bush said that there are 1,000 points of light illuminating the world at the moment. It's interesting that the order writes many constitutions. The members write constitutions. For example, Archibald MacLeish, who is a member of Skull and Bones, or was, he wrote the constitution of UNESCO. Now, we're going to have to deal with UNESCO and find out what it's about. Churches, the Union Theological Seminary is under control of Skull and Bones. A very interesting seminary. We'll deal with these in more detail in another lecture. Major establishment of law firms, communications and industry, the Federal Reserve, and all of these are controlled by the order. This is how Chapter 322 operates. There's a central inner core. Notice that this is actually the all-seeing eye, the wedge of the eye, but that's something else. There's an inner core, there's an inner circle, there's an outer circle, there's an Atlantic circle, the Bohemian Club. Notice there, Bohemian Club, part of Skull and Bones. Pilgrim Society, Penumbra Order, Chapter 322 of the Order, the Trilateral Commission. That's how it's put together. You could basically put it this way: Council of Foreign Relations, United Nations, Bilderbergs, Club of Rome, Royal Institute of International Affairs, and the Trilateral Commission, with the Illuminati controlling everything on the inside, forming basically the round table. Now, you saw that the Bohemian Club is part and parcel of the issue. Now, what is this Bohemian Club? Well, here's the Bohemian Grove. The August 2, 1982 edition of Newsweek reported, this is just another quote, "The world's most prestigious summer camp, the Bohemian Grove, is now in session 75 miles north of San Francisco. It's in a forest. It's a fortress." But strangely, even fortresses can be breached, and one enterprising journalist managed to sneak in. The fiercely guarded 2,000-acre retreat is the country's extension of San Francisco's all-male, ultra-exclusive Bohemian Club, to which every Republican president since Herbert Hoover have belonged. This is just a quote. This is the Bohemian Grove ceremony, which was photographed or videotaped, very darkly, of course, very secretly, by one journalist, which caused a major furor. Now, you can see very little in this light, so I'll explain to you what's happening there. In this forest, the men appear naked. Naked. They have to walk around naked. In fact, some members have left the society because they're tired of walking around naked. Now imagine every president of the United States has been a member of the Bohemian Grove. And, you know, just imagine. The priests are dressed in vestments, papal vestments, and they pay homage to an owl because the owl sees in darkness. It has illumination. There are other rituals which I do not want to talk about that happen between all these naked men. And if you read your Bibles, you will find that those who worshipped in the groves were called the perverted ones.
Now all within his leafy temple, that all within the groves be reverent before him. Lift up your heads, O ye trees, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting spires. For behold, here is Bohemian shrine, and holy are the pillars of this house.
Here's the owl.
For beauty is eternal, and we bow to beauty everlasting. For lasting happiness, return to one alone, and she surrounds you now. Great nature, refuge of the weary heart.
We bow to one alone, great nature.
She is ever faithful. Other friends may fail, so must he come as children. Little children that believe don't ever doubt her beauty and her faith. Bohemian and priest, our funeral fire awaits the corpse of care. Princess of all mortal wisdom, Owl of Bohemia, we beseech thee, grant us thy counsel.
Owl of Bohemia, grant us thy counsel. Well, that's just a part of the ritual, which shows that it is nature worship. It is condemned in the Bible, and yet, who are the members? Let's continue. This is an article in Mother Jones, August 18, 1981, volume 6, page 28, and reports who the prominent members were. For example, George P. Shultz, Stephen Batchelor, Gerald Ford, Henry Kissinger, William Buckley. Can you imagine them all walking around naked, worshipping a stupid owl? I mean, that's so pathetic. Fred Hartley, Griffin, Haywood, Coors, Teller, Ronald Reagan, Clausen, George Bush, William French Smith, etc., etc., etc. It is pathetic. Modus operandi of the order. The activities of the order are directed towards changing our society, changing the world, to bring about a new world order. This will be a planned order with heavily restricted individual freedom. That's fascism. And I will show you the papal encyclicals that will make your hair stand on edge as to what is going to happen all over the world. And believe me, I live in a country where it's being implemented. And you can see it happening every single day. It is scary. But you don't have to be afraid. If you know why it's happening, if you do not know why it is happening, you will despair, and there are thousands who are putting bullets through their head because they cannot tolerate it. 4,000 farmers driven off the land and murdered in my country alone. They lose everything, they lose hope, they put bullets through their heads, they wipe out their entire families because it's better for them to die than to live with it. And you know what? You give a lecture like this and you show what's behind it and why it's behind it, and guess what? They get hope. Because they see it's not just them and not something they don't understand. Once they start understanding the bigger picture, they gain hope. And they say, wow, so it's not really the end for us, because this is simply the sign that Jesus is coming soon. And there will be a better kingdom. Let us give our lives to Jesus Christ, because this world has nothing to offer. And they get hope. No constitutional protection if you go against it. They control education. I'll show you how in the lectures. Money, law, politics, economy, history, psychology, philanthropy, medicine, religion, media. There is nothing that they do not control. And remember, they are neither left nor are they right. So, if there are right-wing parties and left-wing parties, they control them what? Both. That's the Hegelian principle. That's Hegelian logic. Remember that both Marx and Hitler, the extremes of left and right, presented as textbook enemies, evolved out of the same philosophical system, Hegelianism. That brings screams of intellectual anguish from Marxists and Nazis. Remember that the Jesuits were told that they must serve on this side and the other side. Remember that? And create conflict between the sides. This conflict of opposites is essential to bring about the change that they want. Today, this process can be identified in the literature of the Trilateral Commission, for example, where change is promoted under conflict management. Have you heard that name before? Right, conflict is essential. The state is absolute, so the state must have total control. That means the people must relinquish their rights to the state. Do you see that happening in the United States at the moment? Absolutely. So, the state requires complete obedience, and individual does not exist for himself in these so-called organic systems, but only to perform a role in the operation of the state. That's exactly what it was like under Nazism. Here's Hegel. The two, Hegel and Kant, are the philosophers behind the system. I was stunned. I was in Europe 4 weeks ago, in Germany, and the leaders, the presidents of Germany, went down and put down wreaths in front of these people's graves and said, their philosophy has made the new Europe possible. They honored them. What a terrible, I would almost say satanic, well, why not just say it, philosophy? The Illuminati principle that the end justifies the means is also the principle of the group and the order, which is skull and bones. That means you can do anything, no matter how dastardly, as long as you achieve your aim. There's an outer circle, an inner core, all of these. Council of Foreign Relations is the outer circle, Trilateral Commission, all of those. Trilateral Commission was founded by David Rockefeller, comprises 200 members worldwide. The Bundy Operation, activism towards a new world global order. George W. Bush, who was a member of Skull and Bones, remember, says that he's a big idea, a new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in a common cause. Only the United States has both the moral standing and the means to back it up. So, do you think they're trying to get all the countries of the world to come into this system, yes or no? Do you think it's possible that they are giving their power to a woman who rides them? Does it look like it? Who controls them? The Jesuits. And who do the Jesuits say all power must be under? The Pope. Isn't that correct? All right. So who do you think would clamor for a new world order more than anyone else? Maybe the Pope. Wouldn't that be interesting? Well, here he is, new international order urged for the sake of peace. When? January 3, 2004. His whole New Year's speech was dedicated to asking for the implementation of the New World Order. The Vatican City, January 1, 2004. John Paul II started the New Year by insisting that peace is possible, and thus a duty, and he called for a new international order. CNN, what did that have to say? Pope calls for a new world order. Thursday, January 1, 2004. Vatican City, Pope John Paul rang in the new year on Thursday with a renewed call for peace in the Middle East and Africa and the creation of a new world order based on respect for the dignity of man and equality amongst nations. What did he say? This year, Pope John Paul directed his thoughts to the continuing conflict around the globe, but he stressed that to bring about peace, there needs to be a new respect for international law and the creation of a new international order based on the goals of the United Nations. He called for an order that is able to give adequate solutions to today's problems based on the dignity of the human being, this is human rights, on an integral development of society, on solidarity amongst nations, rich and poor, on the sharing of resources and the extraordinary results of scientific and technical process. You know, sharing of resources. Have you heard of that before? Well, there's another term for it. It's called redistribution of wealth. Have you heard of that before? Right. Now, let me redefine that for you. To redistribute wealth means to take the wealth from the one who has it and give it to one who has not got it. Is that correct? Now, if you do that, which nations of the world will be hardest hit? The Catholic ones or the Protestant ones? The Protestant ones are the rich nations. Everywhere you can draw a line. Now, I will show you in the lectures that come that there are encyclicals which define how the redistribution is to take place. And how it is happening and how the encyclical says it should take place is what I can see happening in my country without the government lifting a finger against it. It is defined by need, as we will see. Now, there's another word for taking from one who has and distributing it to someone who does not have. It's called theft. Stealing. Thou shalt not steal, says the Bible. The Pope in Rome says, thou shalt steal. He does. Literally, I'll show you his encyclical. You will be stunned. This new world order is going to be an exciting place. I don't want much part of it. Fortunately, my God says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, they would fight for me, but it is not of this world. My kingdom is up there. There where your treasure is, there your heart will be. I have managed, because I live where I live, to loosen myself from that which I own, because I know that it means nothing anymore. Do you know that in my country, if you go on a holiday, and you stay away for a while and you come back and your house is occupied, that you cannot put the new tenants out, even if the house is yours? Did you know that? Because they have need, therefore they have the right to take it, whether you own it or not. And this is not a joke, this is a fact. Scary. But who cares? I serve a God who has promised the most wonderful things, even temporal things, to those who serve Him. Wonderful promises. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you where I am also. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go. Actually, it doesn't mean rooms, it means mansions. God has prepared things for us which make this world sick by comparison. So let them have their kingdom, let them have their fun, because my God says, this world will come to an end and the kingdom of God will reign forever and ever and ever. Don't miss the next lectures. We're now on a roller coaster ride that will take you to exciting places. Thank you for coming. We have been wrong.